Those are the people with the boots on the ground. These are the people who are spending time with a group of about 5 kids, sometimes a few more, sometimes a few less, all morning, every morning. They're the ones that know their names, that take their prayer requests, that play games with them, that help them follow the rules when they don't want to. Those are the core of reaching these kids. Most of them are basicers. Most of our crew leaders are kids from our youth group or kids that used to be in our youth group. And of course, we have people from outside the church that come and volunteer in that way, and also some very brave adults who are willing to get down on the floor and get wet in games and work with the kids in that way. So each day they rotate through 5 stations, and these stations are deep Bible adventures and sticky scriptures, which are taught by Diane and my mom, Charlene. They take turns teaching each one, where they learn their Bible story in an interactive way and also work on memorizing verses that teach them about having friendship with God, which is our theme this year. And then they're also another station they go to is the Imagination Station, where Beth and Misty teach a lesson using kind of scientific principles and a fun toy that the kids get to take home. But that lesson also feeds the main point of the day. Of course, there's games outside. Miss Jody usually leads those, and that usually involves water, so that gets them moving and keeps them cool, hopefully. And of course, there's snacks. Title treats is what they're called this year, which Karen leads. And those are everybody's, you know, most of the time it's like games and snacks are their two favorite stations. So in the opening every day, there's a Bible buddy. This year they'll all be water animals that has something about them that points towards something about God. They teach a little lesson, usually through a video. And there's a goofy skit starring Bill Sullivan and James. And, of course, they sing songs with all kinds of emotions. And this year, I'm very excited. We're going to have Feathers Kids helping the kids learn the motions. So they've been learning all the songs, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. So this year, I just want to tell you what our points are. They're all about God and how he is a friend to us. So day 1, God is a friend who is real. Day 2, God is a friend who loves. Day 3 is God is a God we can trust. Day 4 is God is a friend forever. And that's also the day where we present the gospel. So that's the day when we ask the kids to recognize that they need a savior and choose Jesus. And then on day 5, we have God is a friend for everyone. So, I'm sorry, my notes are scattered. I just don't want to leave anything out. VBS, as you can tell, takes a lot of volunteers. Most of the time, it takes almost 1 volunteer per student. If you add up everyone who helps with decorating, everyone who helps with teardown, the people in the nursery watching the volunteers' babies, it takes about as many volunteers as it takes, or as we serve students. So that doesn't count those of you who donate supplies, who spend your time praying. I'm not counting y'all, sorry. So that's just the people who are present during VBS week or beforehand to set up or all of that. So all that to say, we need you. Please pray for us. Pick up a copy of the prayer sheet out there that Sue Wright has made. She's got a way to contact her if you want to be a part of a targeted prayer team. Every day of VBS, we send prayer requests that the kids give us to that prayer team, and you know, we're praying for people's sick relatives and lost puppies and the things that are important to those kids. So please pray and please give and just ask God how he would have you be a part of it. Because VBS is part of his kingdom coming, it is part of his will being done here on earth. This is evangelism. This is planting seeds. This is watering. So at our grand finale every year, which is pretty cool, the kids are all part of it. Every kid who comes gets to be up on stage and either say a scripture verse or do the songs or something, and we invite all their parents or siblings or grandmas or whoever wants to come, and we serve them cookies afterwards. But we have a special speaker who will share the gospel and, again, ask people to make a decision. And some years, we see hands go up with the parents, which is amazing. Some years we don't see that, but we know that God's word doesn't return void. We know that planting those seeds and watering those seeds is what VBS is for. So I don't have statistics or numbers for how many people got saved at VBS, you know, in 2021 or whatever, but God knows, and he's keeping track, and it's up to him, like Jason was saying, he gives the fruit, he gives the increase, and we're just going to be faithful to keep planting those seeds and watering them. And also, it's super fun. So please, if you can in any way, help us. It would be great. And do pray. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Joel, I think, yeah, come on up. VBS is the next one kind of on the horizon, but there's a lot of other outreach ministries that go on throughout the year. So Joel's going to take us into that section.
So I think we're going to see a video right now. Let's go to that. Oh, okay. It's kind of loopy, okay? So it's going to be looping. Okay, super duper. Well, Amy, thank you for the tremendous invitation and a review of VBS, which is, in my mind, I think all of us agree, a national treasure. VBS is known in every state, I'm sure in our territories, all through North America, and I'm going to guess millions of young people have been introduced to Christ through VBS. So we get to be a part of that in a powerful way starting in 3 weeks' time, and we all have a role. So thank you for kind of letting us know we are all a part of it. And it's going to be amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for all of you who are directly on stage and preparing for every moment of this amazing time. I'd like to have Bob and Tina to come up in just a minute. And I especially want to thank Bob and Tina for, Bob's the chair of the Evangelism Task Force. He has done an amazing job over the past year. Bob and Tina are at the laundromat almost every Saturday. Tom and Jody have been there almost as much, maybe more. I don't know. Daniel has been there, a few others. But that ministry is ongoing. And some of those that have been at the laundromat have been at the breakfast. Tom, or Bob, you'll probably touch on that as well. So Bob and Tina are going to come. Linda, you're going to be coming up to talk about the ministry in the parking lot. And Daniel will be coming to talk about international student ministry at TU. So why don't you all come right now and you'll follow in order. And this is an incredibly exciting season for us. And let's continue to pray. And as we heard, even during the worship time, to know that it's not in our strength that we share the gospel, but the Lord inspires us and leads us and gives us those opportunities daily and weekly. So let's go for it. Thank you.
First of all, Jason, thanks so much for what you shared. I fall into that category where I kind of have a hard time sharing with people, like I'm having a hard time right now. But one of the things I wanted to mention is all of these different outreaches, the Knot Barbecue, the laundry ministry, all of those have really come about from the Sunday morning monthly prayer walk. Everything that we do, we really believe that God has laid that on our hearts, and that prayer walk has really helped us to get out in the community, find some needs, and, you know, what can we do to get out there and reach the community. So if you haven't been able to, those Sunday morning prayer walks once a month are really, really effective and a good time to see what's going on in the community. And I really feel like each one of those are tools that God has put in our hands to make the work easier. I mean, it's so easy when people are having food or eating a donut to be able to talk with them and share. You know, we don't have to count how many notches we can put in our Bible from salvations, but it's more watering, planting, you know, developing relationships, and then we're able to share the gospel easier. So I just really encourage you to not be intimidated by evangelism. You know, that's a big word and it's scary, but it doesn't have to be. Just as an example, we've been doing the laundry for maybe almost a year, and there's a gentleman that's there every time we're there. And, you know, I've never really shared the gospel with him, but one time I felt like I was supposed to share my testimony. And most of you know it's drugs and alcohol and how God healed me. And I told him that, and his mouth just dropped. He could not believe, you know. And I said, yeah, that's what God did for me, and he can do that for anyone. And he was just so amazed, and it just made me feel, you know. So I kind of wanted to share. I guess I only have a little more time, but just how sharing the gospel with others, it really deepens our understanding for the really fundamental truths of the scripture. Having a conversation with a non-Christian forces us, it helps us to grasp better, you know, who God really is. What has he done, you know, his character, his holiness? I think that all just really inspires us. It's one thing to know it, but to speak it is a whole nother thing. And that's, you know, where it's really, really important. One scripture, Philemon 1:6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And that really hits home, you know. I look back and just the different relationships that we have, and it's just been inspiring. So, Tina.
I'm just really grateful for the list on the back of the bulletin, because one of the things we really prayed for with the prayer walks and starting, you know, with the evangelism task force was just we really wanted, I don't know how to say this, we really wanted, we just didn't want to do, but we wanted God's creativity. We wanted to ask, you know, his inspiration on how we could reach people and to kind of come up with things that could be an ongoing, you know, that we could establish and have an ongoing thing with. And then that way people in the community would just over time, it would be something that they can just remember and, oh yeah, this is that. So this, I'm just really blessed to read this. I hope you guys are too. And I guess when Bob asked me to share, I guess one of the things that I want to share is that, you know, with the laundry, going to the laundromat, one of the things that I've seen happen is just, it's just establishing relationships with people. And no, I am not an evangelist whatsoever. But I think what I've seen is just over a period of time is just with those relationships that have been developed. And then people know that you're real. You can be trusted, and you know, when you have that relationship, it just kind of opens that door where you can share into people's lives. And it's just, I don't know if anybody just has an interest, and I know in the bulletin it says from like 9 to 11:30, but we don't really kind of, it varies. So sometimes, you know, 10:30 or, you know, so I don't want you to feel like you even have to be there for a couple hours. But if you have an interest and you just want to come for a half hour or something, and just, it's just with the little bags, and you just walk up to someone and, how are you? And this is my name. I'm Tina from Tulsa Christian Fellowship. And it's amazing the people that we run into that don't even know that we gather here on Sunday morning. things and that we're a church. So it's just kind of fun to make them aware of that and just kind of talk to them. And in just your relationship, I mean, just as you're talking with them, it just, is there something I can pray about for you? Because a lot of times there aren't too many people who resist, you know, they're not going to resist prayer. And so that's just kind of something I've seen. It's been a cool opportunity just to develop relationships with people in the community. And then, too, as far as the prayer walk is next Sunday, and even if you feel like you can't go out and walk a great distance or be out there for a while, you know, I was just thinking a cool thing is to just go up to an intersection and just pray down each street that you see. You don't even have to, you know, don't walk around the block, but just go to an intersection and pray down that way, and just 10, 15 minutes or whatever. Just encourage you in that mode, so for prayer walking. So
okay, I know I've been up here before, but it was for a different purpose. And, you know, it's like you pick the least likely person to talk about something, and I'm probably the least likely person to talk about evangelism because I don't like it. Everybody else has already stole all of my thunder. I'm a doer. I talk a lot, too, but I'm really a doer. But I've really enjoyed, I've been here every Sunday for this breakfast. This is the one thing I've involved in. And I've really enjoyed it. I have found that it really is fun. It's not, you think, oh, it's going to be so hot out there. Well, it's warm, but it's not horrendous at this time of year, especially at that hour. And the people are so grateful. And we have seen every week there's more people, you know. This week was amazing. I don't know how many people came, but Bob was running out of food, you know, to cook. But it's been really good. And the first couple of Sundays, we walked the neighborhood and took the flyers to let people know we were there. You know, it's everything that everybody has said. Some people were trying to figure out what church, you know, because the one couple of blocks down has closed already. And they were like, what church? And I'm, oh, yeah, it looks like a warehouse, because it was a warehouse, you know. And so, you know, that's a little bit of things we can maybe get out a little bit better, is that we are a church. You know, and I guess in my old age, I am getting a little braver. They said you can ask people what they want you to pray for. I just say, can I pray for you? And I've been able to pray for a couple of people. You know, you see things that touch your heart and you remember, and you, you know, kind of pray about those as you keep going on. May never run into those people again, but I last week there was one young girl, and I was concerned about her and prayed for her, but she's on my mind, and I keep praying for her. I don't know what's going to happen. God does, but he put her there. And so, you know, it is easy. You can do whatever. You can watch the table. You can sit and talk to people. And having TCFers there helps, because people don't want to stop when they're the only one. If they see a bunch of people sitting down, they're more likely to come, to stop and come in. And a lot of them, they're just driving by, you know, what, free breakfast? Yeah, come on over, you know. And so, you know, it really is easy and it's fun. You get to talk to some TCFers you don't see all the time. So put it on your list. I think I heard maybe October for the breakfast, but there's other things in the meantime, like they've been talking about. So if I can do it, anybody can do it.
So I get to talk about ISM, International Student Ministry. And honestly, the shepherds have been involved in this a lot longer, so maybe it would have been better if they were up here sharing, but maybe a fresh, newer perspective could help. So last summer, I recall hearing about the Furniture Fest that was going on. I had a vague idea of what it was about. A handful of times over the past year, I've heard Chuck and Diane mention the things that they were doing with international students, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder how they got involved in that. And I had no idea. Well, I may have heard them mention what it was through International Student Ministry as ISM, but what I didn't realize until much later was just how easy it would be to get plugged in and involved. So back at the missions seminar that TCF has this year, Stephen was asked to give like a presentation, like a workshop that Saturday during that week of just helping to figure out, okay, how does TCF see itself moving forward with evangelism? So he asked about, and I think the post-it notes are still up there, the large post-it notes. If you've missed them, you haven't been around. But he asked, okay, what is TCF's calling? And what is TCF's audience like? Who's around you that you can... And TCF's callings, one of the big things is foreign missions. And who's around you? There's an international campus just a couple miles away. It's like... And I thought to myself, this is a no-brainer. So since I made up my mind, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to learn more about this opportunity that the shepherds have been involved in and get involved myself. And since then, there's been a lot of opportunities that I've been able to, that Emily and I have been able to participate in that have just been really wonderful. I want to read a verse, and this is Acts 17, 26 and 27. And he, being God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. I would add that in the same way, God has appointed this time in history for us to have such an opportunity with the nations at our doorstep. So a little bit more about ISM, because I didn't understand much about ISM until I looked into it. So here's the profile. So we are a community of people who have experienced God's love, and we want to share his love through service and friendship with internationals on university campuses and beyond. So that's what they have on their websites. That they also say, as of 2023, Oklahoma has 7,651 international students studying on university campuses across the state. These students are some of the brightest and best from all across the world. Many of them return to their homes and then become a part of shaping the countries and a generation. We have the privilege of engaging in meaningful community with international students, and through caring friendship, bringing the hope and love of Jesus to many who have never heard the good news before. So, going back a little bit, rewinding, we have the privilege of engaging in meaningful community and through caring friendship. That's this ministry strategy. They have opportunities for meeting places, but in their volunteer training, they say, you're probably not going to get to a salvation talk on day one. So just don't even expect it. You work on building the friendships with these people first. A lot of them are coming from very different backgrounds. And once you, as has already been mentioned, once you have that friendship, that solid friendship, then it's just an honest sharing of life. And one thing that this church is certainly very good at is just sharing life together, and in out of that comes Jesus. Let's see. This isn't on their websites, but it's something I've observed that, I mean, some of these students already come to us, already come to Tulsa knowing Jesus. And like the Rachel and Reuben and their family, and for them, this community, ISM, is a natural way to get, one, plugged into Tulsa, but also, two, to integrate and volunteer in this community and be witnesses themselves to the other students in such a natural way, being international students themselves. So while I'm up here, I wanted to let y'all know about some of the opportunities that ISM facilitates. During the normal school year, they have opportunities for free lunches on Thursdays and Fridays at the Wesley on TU's campus. They have game nights every other Friday during the normal school year. There's an English corner on Monday nights where internationals can practice their English. That's just an opportunity for them to practice their English, but it's also an opportunity to get to know them, to see them again. And the annual Furniture Fest is coming up on August 24th. That's a Saturday. More info in the bulletin. And if none of these opportunities work well for you, ISM also facilitates an Adopt-a-Student program where international students who would like to be paired with a stateside family can sign up, and they will be paired with vetted volunteers who have signed up to just pour into and love a student more intentionally. In short, there should be an opportunity for every one of us. And these students are so open to just embrace their time here. And also, once you get to know a student, you don't have to wait for another ISM opportunity to come along. You can, like Emily and I, we took three students to Climb Tulsa yesterday. Just, hey, y'all are in town, and if y'all aren't doing anything, we'd like to take you climbing. And, you know, we all had a lot of fun. We had ice cream afterwards. I'll close with this, and before I say this, I will say that, Bob, you do a lot. We really appreciate it. Nobody wants you to be stretched thin, but this is to make a point, though it may hurt. After the first time I volunteered at the free lunches that the ISM hosts at the Wesley on TU's campus, I was talking with Bob at a Sunday night seminar about how it went, and, you know, just, wow, it was really natural, and I got to know a lot of good students, and you can ask him for his part of the story later, but as I recall, his reply was something to this nature, that while I was thinking of getting involved myself, so we would have at least one person on the evangelism task force taking advantage of the opportunity getting involved with ISM, but if you're going, I guess it won't bother. His loss.
One other opportunity for the people that work during the day is this summer, on Tuesdays, they have a potluck dinner. So Tuesday, July 2nd, then the 16th and the 30th are potluck dinners with international students. So if you want to know more about where it is, I can give you the email. Thanks.
Isn't it wonderful to have so many people involved in so many ways? What a rich experience we get to have, and richer the more we get involved. I'm going to close us in prayer. I would challenge each of you to consider maybe getting out of your comfort zone a little bit more. I know a lot of you are already doing things, but maybe think about another way that you can maybe do some more, maybe differently than you've done before. Join me in prayer. Father, you've called us to share the good news with the world. And that starts with right here and who we're close to. As we've heard from many, it's not a burdensome, difficult thing to share life, to share a meal, to share a conversation. And I pray that you would help us to remember that. Help us to give of ourselves where we are called to give. And that you would prompt us and draw us, and that we would be the laborers that are needed in the harvest fields that are nearby. I pray for our potluck that we're about to eat, that you would bless the food and the fellowship there. And I pray that in all of our outreach directions, in all of these programs and ministries, that everyone who meets us would find the true bread from heaven and the water springing up to everlasting life. We pray, Lord, that when they find us, they would find you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.